Dean. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, sir. I hope you're well.
I'm doing pretty good, Dean.
Uh-huh.
I need a yellow tablet here always.
I'm trying to work back into the papers here and get caught up, but two or three things. One is George Brown told me that he would not dissociate on this bombing business, and we gave him some details on it, and promised that he would stand sturdy on it, but I...
Marie, could I have a yellow tablet or some kind of a pad here, please? Just a second, Dean. I want to take a note here, too. Right. Go ahead, Dean.
George Brown told me he would not dissociate from this bombing, but I can't guarantee you what he's going to do when he gets back.
I think in that connection it would be very good if we could take the 10 most recent horrible instances. I saw in one of your interviews you touched on two or three things like hand grenades in Hanoi and the airport in Hanoi, but if we could get the best man we could to build up and dramatize the 10 most horrible ones so that we just have them and put them out and repeat them back and forth. I know I read one intelligence report where they went into some little village and massacred 34 or something of that type, and I know I read another one where they put off lobbed the mortars into a Marine outfit and killed 17. And I think if we could say that no one's given us any information, we killed as many people as they did in this situation. Now, we're against both of it. War is bad and is hell. But there's no reason why we ought to stay there and let them kill us every day and us do nothing. And we can't believe any reasonable person would expect you to. Now, if they can prevail on them to stop, they don't have any trouble with us.
Right. I'm having a background with my fellows here on my trip this afternoon. I expect to have a press conference on Wednesday.
That's good, I sure would. And I would get some horrible examples and say, I'll give you time for you to write this down. Because we see the things we do that are wrong, and that's natural and necessary, and we're not objecting to your pointing out this. But we do want you to point out, if we cease, what do we do? What they did last time we paused was to come in and bring in build-ups and kill people and so forth. Now, how can a commander-in-chief justify saying he's going to let his boys let this happen to them and give three or four illustrations? While
I started in that direction at the airport when I came.
You did, and I thought it was good.
Secondly, I do think that it would be useful if a very short little note from you to Keith could be left behind by George McGee before he comes home during the Christmas period. Could take a look at that draft down there. I think the Germans are going to be all right here. Kiesinger's television yesterday afternoon, I thought it was pretty good. I don't know whether you got to see it.
No, I didn't. I read it though this morning, and I thought it was all right.
He said that if you on television, if you were to come there during the European visit, you'd have a warmest welcome. And then they asked him, "Would he like to see you over here?" And he said, "Well, of course, but I would like to see him at any time." I wouldn't invite him to take the date at this point, but this little message is not through that.
I saw that. The only fear I had, I told him to go ahead with it if they thought it was essential. I didn't just want to be too overboard in saying things to him that I just really didn't mean or feel right at this time. Now, if you think that in the arts of diplomacy that a little letter like that is required, they don't make much impression on me. They may on other folks. I would think that...
It would be useful for George to leave behind when he makes a little farewell call on before he comes home.
All right, well then tell him go on and draft it what it sends me. Most of the time I think those things are just used as a little gratuity of an ambassador instead of a thing, and then I'm tied with everybody in the country is underwriting it, but go ahead.
Right. Now, another point, you and I are the only ones on the line.
Yes.
Mark Child told one of my colleagues that he, Mark Child, had been called in by Clark Clifford and was told that Clark was, thought he might be asked to take my post here and ask Mark Child's advice about whether he should do it or not.
I'm sure that's not true. Don't believe Clark Clifford did it, but I that has no basis, in fact, because I have not talked to Clark Clifford in weeks, literally weeks, and I think that he must have gotten a signal pretty clearly on the other situation, and I would not, if you drop dead, be prepared to go that route at all.
Well, I just, apparently Mark Childs is out of town and is not likely to write anything on this until after the first of the year, but there's a possibility of a story. I'll try to see Mark Childs if he wants to see it.
I think perhaps I ought to tell Clifford, don't you? See, we've never had a discussion of this at all.
Well, I remember the basis on which he turned down another job and you turned down what he had to say on the other job.
Yeah. Mark Childs is a troublemaker, and they're very much against us. And the Post-Dispatch is very much against us, and he's kind of a runner for this other group. And last week at the governor's conference, they had their governor from Missouri say that we couldn't do much. And Bobby has sent a man to open an office in Missouri to handle the Midwest organization for his activities. He was a fellow named Matt Welch that was over at the Democratic Committee, and he's doing it in the guise of a public relations firm. And they provoked the controversy at the governor's conference. It came in from two governors, one Hearns. First, we had about 1920 there, 11 of them are Confederate governors who can't stomach our civil rights. King of New Hampshire and Hearns of Missouri were openly critical, as was Hughes of Iowa, who wants to take on Hickenlooper, and trying to play the Republican line. But Bobby was behind it all, as he is with the Negroes now. Shriver is resigning, and they want to start marches on Washington. And
I just wanted to alert you to the possibility of a Mark Childs
Does this source of yours believe that Mark said that he had been called in by Clifford and consulted?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Mr. President, this was based on the conversation Mark Childs with Bob McCluskey, and this was on Mark Childs' initiative. This was while I was gone, so there's no way to check it out with me. But Mark Childs said that he had two conversations with Clark Clifford. One was about 2 weeks ago, in which Clark said he wanted to get Mark Childs' advice on what his response would be. And then, more recently, I don't know exact date of the second conversation, but Clark Clifford definitely, according to Mark Childs, left the impression Mark Childs that this was much nearer than he had proposed in his first conversation.
What I think I'll do, if you don't object, is just tell Abe Fortas, who talks to Clark on a good basis, that he thinks he ought to know that the rumor is around that he's been talking, that he's discussed this with folks, that he thinks that he ought to know that and then get Clark's reaction, and he ought to feel if Clark feels that it would be considered for this. I think that would kind of hoist a red flag.
Right. All right.
I'll do that.
Well, a good way to at least not let it build up any further.
I will.
Remind Clark, maybe get hold of Mark and cool him off.
That's right.
All right, fine.
Anything else?
No, not at the moment. I may get in touch with you later in the afternoon.